Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to have you back with us today. We are going to begin in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew, chapter 24, and I have a great big question to ask you, and I want you to be very thoughtful about your answer. So I want to lay forth some scripture. This may be a bit tedious for some of you, but I believe that it's worthwhile to reiterate and to bring back to our thinking what Jesus said would be in the last days. And he obviously was giving information to his disciples what they should be looking for as signs. And you'll remember that in part of the scriptures, Jesus said to his disciples, you can tell when the sky is red and lowering, it's going to be this kind of weather, et cetera, et cetera. But you don't discern the signs of the times. And today I want to talk to you about those signs of the times. And I want to ask you a big question once again about the signs that we see today and what they may actually mean. So without further ado, let's go to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to begin in verse 4, Matthew 24, verse 4. But here's the background, again, just for accuracy. When you put Matthew and Mark together, what we realize is that there are four disciples that are asking Jesus three questions. They want to know when these things will be. They want to know what will be the sign of his coming and what will be the end of the world. All right, so four disciples, which were Peter, James, John, and I believe Mark. I could actually find that out for you here. You ready? I'll take a minute. Got a little extra time today. So let's go back to Mark chapter 13, and here's what it actually says. In verse 3, this is Mark 13:3, just to give you the names of the disciples asking the questions. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Now, going back to Matthew, so again, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, four disciples are asking Jesus a question. Now, in verse 3 of Matthew 24, it says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, and that's the four disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. and saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Number one question. And what shall be the sign of your coming? Number two question. And of the end of the world? Number three question. Four disciples, three questions. And now let's get into it. Matthew 24, verse 4, Jesus answered, said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. All right, so he's saying in the last days when these three questions are going to be answered, and to their generation and then to the very end until the coming of the Lord. You have to get this perspective. Jesus is talking to his generation because he was talking about the destruction of the temple, okay, and that every stone would be cast down. But he's also talking about his coming. So it's almost as though the Lord Jesus is going to put into a summation, if you will, from 70 AD all the way to the end of time when he returns, which we know, and you're going to find out here in just a moment, that Jesus will return immediately after the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth, which we believe is beginning to form right now. So here he's going to span time. He's going to put this out there. Now, remember, 1,000 days for the Lord is what? One day. And a day is as 1,000 years. So what we say, well, 2,000 years, well, that's just 2 days. So the Lord is talking about, you know, this time frame of events that will begin in 70 AD and will culminate in his second coming. Well, he certainly hasn't come yet, okay? The end of the world has not been here as we know it. All right. Now, maybe for the Jewish people in 70 AD, there was, but there was no sign of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to set up his millennial kingdom, et cetera, et cetera. So Matthew 24, verse 4, he said, don't let anybody deceive you. Let no man deceive you. And that word deceive is the Greek word from 4105, which is the plano. And that means to cause to stray or to lead astray. It also means to roam from safety, truth, or virtue, to seduce, or to cause to wander or error, all right? So don't let anybody deceive you about what's going on in the world. It's almost like the Lord was saying, like he knew there'd be news media in these days that are going to be telling you all kinds of stuff, and there'd be talking heads everywhere. They're going to give in their ideas, their opinions. They're going to express their human reasoning, intellect, knowledge. And there's going to be a lot of information, but some of that information, probably a lot of that information, will be leading people astray. It'll be seducing them. People will be listening to what they're saying rather than to what he is saying. So the Lord is actually going to stand out among all the peoples of the earth from 70 AD to the very end of time. His message is the one he's telling his disciples to pay attention to. Don't pay attention to anything else out there unless it connects and agrees with what I'm about to tell you. All right, so don't let anyone deceive you. And there's a lot of it. Now, verse 5, he said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Well, you know, that's one way of being deceived, where people come saying, thus saith the Lord, and I come in the name of Christ, or whatever, but their message does not resonate with what he's about to say. So what is important here, whether it's coming from the news media or the world or the CDC leaders or the White House or wherever, if the message does not resonate, connect, and agree with what Jesus is about to say, don't listen to him. If you go to church and they're telling you this is what God's saying, but it doesn't resonate with the word of God, don't believe it. Don't believe anything except what God says, okay? Now, verse 6, Jesus said, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, we basically know what war is. It's the polemos, and the polemos means the battle, but it also has some other interesting definition to it. It talks about to bustle. It talks about a strife or a quarrel or a dispute. Now, we often think of war and rumors of wars as, you know, World War I, World War II, World War III, and no doubt that is definitely war. But there are other wars. We just saw a war in Washington, D.C. a couple of months ago with the impeachment process. All right, we've seen a lot of wars going on all around us. We just need to pay attention and understand what's going on. So Jesus said you would hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. All right, so that you don't want to be troubled by what you hear. And the word troubled there is the throeo. The throeo. And that means don't wail, don't clamor, don't be frightened, okay? Don't cry out loud, don't be alarmed. These are all the Greek definitions of the word troubled. So don't you be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. All right, so these things are going to come to pass. There's going to be deception. You're going to hear of wars. You're going to hear of rumors of wars. Don't worry. This is not the end. This is just something that has to take place. Verse 7, Jesus went on to say, for nation shall rise against nation. And that word nation there is the ethnos. And the word ethnos is where we get the word race. Okay? And that's what it actually means. Ethnos is a race. Or a tribe, okay? Whether it be Gentile, heathen, nation, people. But the first definition in ethnos is a race. So race shall rise against race, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be, here it is, famines. Now, we all know what a famine is, at least up front we do. It is the word limos. And a famine is scarcity of harvest, okay? It's through the idea of destitution, a scarcity of food, hunger. Now, it's interesting that with the way things are going, famine could also mean plenty of food on the shelf but no nutrition, or due to the high prices, people not able to buy real food or good food. So famine is scarcity of food, either because you can't afford it, and you see that in the book of Revelation in the black horse rider, by the way, the balances and all that stuff, and we could get into that in just a moment. But he also said after there would be deception, wars, rumors of wars, there would be nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, there shall be famines, which we just talked about, and pestilences, and that's the loimos, and a pestilence here is a plague. Literally means a disease. And obviously, we would say coronavirus, quote unquote, is a pestilence. And then he said, and earthquakes. And an earthquake. And we all know what an earthquake is. It's a seismos, is where we get the English word seismic activity. Well, it's the Greek word seismos. And what it means is a commotion, motion, or a gale, an earthquake, a tempest. So an earthquake is any wherever you see commotion. And remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, that there would be wars and commotions. And do you remember what the word commotion means? The word commotion in the Greek literally means instability. So you're seeing commotion all over the world right now. It's not a literal earthquake where the ground is shaking, but it is a commotion. It is this type of instability that he said would be taking place. But we take that to mean literally earthquakes, and there be plenty of them, as you know. And he said that these earthquakes would be in different places. And so all over the world, seismic activity. All over the world, there'd be pestilences. All over the world, there'd be famines. All over the world, there'd be unrest because of war and nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And then in verse 8, Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And that phrase there, the beginning of sorrows, speaks of a woman in travail. This is the time when the labor pains begin. Now, people would say, well, these things have existed since the foundation of the world. And I would absolutely agree. However, Jesus is answering questions about the very end. So I believe that the only difference is that these events will be happening globally at the same time. And the book of Revelation is much like that. And we need to go back to the book of Revelation again and go through that again. I know it's tedious, but I think it's going to make a lot more sense now that we're in this particular time. So all these things, turmoil, commotions, nations, wars, rising, blah, all this stuff, it's the beginning of sorrows. And the word sorrows there is the Odin, and that word sorrow means a pang, there's your birth pang, or a throw, especially of childbirth. Sorrow means travail, and there it is. It also means intolerable anguish. It's in reference to the dire calamities. And I like in the Greek says, it's in reference to the dire calamities that precede the advent of the Messiah. Yes, these are dire calamities globally all over the world. And I love the definition of sorrows, that it actually means a pang, as especially of childbirth. It means travail. So our definition, once again, is accurate. So this is just the beginning. It's not the birthing. Remember, and I wrote this in the beginning of our thought here today, that we're talking about right now the New World Order. You know, when a baby is about to be born, the crown of the head is what normally comes first, and it starts to crown. Coronavirus, crown, right? Some people have said. But this, what you're witnessing, well, all the labor pains, but suddenly the crown of the head is about to be revealed, which represents the birthing, the coming forth of what? Well, there are two births going on in the earth. There's the birthing of the man-child ministry in Revelation 12 and the sons of God, and there's a birthing of the new world order, the Antichrist, powers of darkness, etc., etc. But then in Matthew 24, verse 9, and then I want to see law for just a moment. In verse 9, there's a big four-letter word there that you need to circle with a red pencil. It says, then. So Matthew 24, verse 9, then. Now that word then means, I've been telling you about this. This is what's going to happen. But it's going to connect you to something that's going to take place now. Now I want to ask you a question. In those verses that we just read in Matthew 24, those things are just happening all over the world. Okay, that's what it said. It didn't give any particular designation or direction. It was just, you know, globally events taking place. It was just global upheaval going on around the world. But now when he gets to verse 9 and says, then, he's going to say, now this is what you need to expect, disciples. Remember what he's doing. He's answering the questions, three questions of the four disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Peter, James, John, and Andrew were asking him three questions: the sign of these things in 70 AD that were to come, and your second coming, and the end of the world. So he's spanning time, 2,000 years of time at this point, of all the events that would be taking place. And he tells the disciples, when you see these global events taking place, then something's going to shift. Now, what is the shift? But before I read, I want to ask you one more question. Don't you think that Jesus, the master teacher, that if he's going to answer the questions of his four disciples about the end of time, all the way to his second coming, that he would have at least referenced a pre-tribulational rapture in his teaching? I mean, if anybody's going to teach us about a pre-tribulational rapture, don't you think Jesus would be doing that in this conversation or in Mark 13 or Luke 21? Don't you think he would have at least referenced it? Well, I want to ask you a question. So far, has he even hinted at anything called a pre-tribulational rapture? The answer is emphatically no. This is important. Because now let's read verse 9, then. So we go from global events, a woman in travail, labor pains, the beginning of sorrows, just the beginning of sorrows. But now it shifts to then, verse 9, shall they deliver you up to be afflicted? Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. Now he's saying global events are going to lead towards you, disciples. Now he's going to point everything towards his followers. From the time he was speaking to Peter, James, John, and Andrew, to you and I today, and all believers around the world, all these 2,000 years, he is referencing from generation to generation, signs would be there, labor pains would be there, different epochs of time, different dispensations, all saints of God pass through their generation with something happening. But at the very end of time, he says again to you and I, all these signs that are going on, these are the ones leading up to his second coming, by the way. Now they're going to deliver you up to be afflicted. Dear saint of God, the word afflicted is philipses. That is the same word for tribulation. Philipses means they're going to deliver you up for a pressing, for pressure, for oppression, for tribulation, for distress, for straits. They're going to deliver you up, not the whole world, you. This is very important that we understand what Jesus is saying so that we could properly understand what all these signs, what we're looking at in the world. We need to be discerning what's going on in the world right now. And we need to understand when we see all these things, Jesus is telling us something in our generation right now. May have been for all the generations past as well. But we who have come to the end of the end of the end of the ages, right? So Matthew 24:9 again, they shall deliver you up to tribulation and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations. That's amazing, because that's all races. Remember, there's conflict within the world. Let's think it through. Going back to 24/7, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's global upheaval everywhere, but somewhere along the line, something shifts. And now all the nations that were fighting one another are directing their attention towards the disciples. Is America a Christian nation? Is Australia a Christian country? Was Great Britain a Christian nation? Are there any Christian nations or nations that house disciples of Christ all over the world? Could be. Could be individual, particular. Now, they will deliver you up, disciples of Christ, to tribulation. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I wonder what Peter, James, John, and Andrew were looking like at this moment when Jesus was talking to them. I mean, they must have been just kind of, wow, I didn't think it was going to be towards us. You know, I just thought the temple was going to be thrown down. I just thought that maybe, you know, those bad stuff that you just blew our mind with earlier when we said, Lord, look at these great stones and buildings and temples. Look how massive. And you told us that there wouldn't be one stone left upon another. I thought that was enough. But now you're telling us that not only is that going to happen, but there's going to be persecution against us. We're going to be delivered up to persecution and anguish, and we're going to be killed, and we're going to be hated of all the nations of the earth, not the Jewish people, but for those who carry the name of Christ, those who carry the name of Jesus. God, are these signs beginning to happen around us? Look at verse 10. And Jesus said to them, not a mention, not even a hint of a escape, a pre-trib rapture. I mean, right now would be a great time for Jesus to say, don't worry about it, because before they do afflict you and hate you and kill you, I'm going to take you out of here. What a great time for the master to say it, but he doesn't. In fact, in verse 10, he goes on, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Oh my God, who's he talking to? He's talking to the Christian community. He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the believers who are not prepared for this level of persecution, who are not prepared to be killed, who are not prepared for the anguish, who are not prepared to be hated of the whole world. They're not ready for that. So what do? They get offended. The word offended here is the scandalizo. You've heard it so many times. A scandalizo, which is to entrap or to trip up or cause to stumble, cause apostasy. See, the offense is going to create the apostasy. And you know that there's a falling away that's going to happen in the last days. We'll get there hopefully in just a moment as well. But he does say, many shall be offended and apostatize, fall away from God. They're going to be led away. Why? Because of the affliction, because of the killing, because of the hatred. Now they're offended, and what will they do when they begin to apostatize? They shall betray one another. The word betray is paradidomi, paradidomi. And that word betray means, we all kind of know, but it means to surrender or yield up someone. Surrender them to the authorities. Yield up to the authorities, the prevailing powers that appear to be so intelligent. To betray also means to cast or commit or deliver up, to put in hazard or put in prison. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of prison camps around the world for Christians. Believe me, the Antichrist power is coming, just like Nazi Germany toward the Jew, to the Jew first, then the Gentile. This is what Jesus is saying. This would be a great time. Maybe it's in the next verse for Jesus to say, but don't worry, because there's a pre-trib rapture coming before any of this happens. I'm just telling you, disciples, this is happening, but don't worry. He's got to say that, right? I mean, that's got to be written here. But let's see what he says. Many shall be offended. By the word many means the majority. Let's look at the word many in verse 10 again. It's the polus, all right? And that means the large, the many, the much, the larger part. So it's the majority of professors of Christ. Think about that for just a moment. The majority of believers, disciples, followers who are unprepared for the level of persecution that's coming, they're going to fall away, and then they're going to betray, put others into prison. And then what are they going to do? They are going to hate one another. Wow. Brotherly love turns into hatred. That's the misio, the misio. And it literally means to pursue with hatred. And it further goes on to say detest. How is it possible that two brothers or two sisters that went to the church, the temple, hand in hand, singing the songs of the kingdom, suddenly the environment shifts and those same two brothers, those same two sisters begin to hate one another, or at least one of them hates the other, detests the other, and pursues them with this hatred? My God, how does that happen? Something's wrong here. Now, let's go find it, because somewhere Jesus has to say, but don't worry. You don't have to worry. He's got to tell us this. You're going to escape all this before it happens. He's got to say it, right? So let's keep reading verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Well, he didn't say it there. He just says in this environment, in this atmosphere, this is going to be the releasing of the false prophetic movement to gather all the people into bundles, right? This false prophecy, it's going to be really cool. It's going to be peace and safety. It's not going to be horns and a great cape. It's going to be, hey, you better obey the government. And that's what they're going to say. You better obey the government. You better yield to whatever the government tells you to do. If they tell you not to gather in groups of more than 10, you better obey and be a good citizen. The very government that's murdering little babies, shedding innocent blood, the very government that blasphemes the Son of God every day, the very government that promotes the abominations, the very government that is so anti-God and anti-Christ, we're going to be told to obey them, to listen to them. I think that is pure blasphemy. And you know what scripture they're going to use? Romans 13. Because nobody that I've ever heard teach it in the mainstream media has ever promoted it properly. but they're just going to tell the Christians, you're supposed to obey your government. I'd like to read that one time very soon again and show you what it really says. But you see, the false prophets that are coming, they're going to make it sound, oh, so smooth. Oh, we are so intelligent. We're listening to the world powers. Last time everybody listened to the world powers is when the Apostle Paul was on a ship and he told them, if you listen to these world powers, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. But they all, the shipmasters, knew better in Acts 27, and they knew better than the word of God. So they all followed that lead, and they got in a lot of trouble. It's going to happen here, too. And so let me just go on, because I'm looking for something right now. I'm looking for Jesus to tell us we're going to escape, because this is the time to tell us. Many false prophets shall rise because of the environment. Going to be telling those same Christians that hate and put in jail. Why are they going to put other Christians in jail? Because they're not following the status quo. Because they're not going with the program. They're going to get angry at their righteousness. They're going to get angry at their holiness. They're going to call them names like holier than thou, religious fanatics. They got all kinds of stuff. And at that time, the false prophets are going to be accusing the righteous, and they're going to be gathering the unrighteous who are full of hate and betrayal and detestation. They're going to take them, the offended ones, and they're going to, the demonic is going to move through them strongly. Verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, there's the plus again, the majority, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, that means you once had love. The love is going to succo, and that means to calm it down. It means to breathe like a cold breath. Somebody going like this to your love, and it's going to cool it down. What do you do when you want to eat hot soup? You want to cool it down. There's a wind that's coming upon this earth, intending to cool down the love in God's people's hearts. Number one, towards God. Number two, towards one another in the body of Christ. It's going to be that way. There's a cooling down that's coming. And God tells us, be careful, man. Make sure you're passionately hot. Make sure the fire burns. We need to be around people that are on fire in the realm of love. Okay, because if you love, you're not going to betray. And if you love, you're not going to be offended. And if you love, you're not going to do all this stuff, right? So the thing that you and I, Jesus is telling us, keep your love on fire. Keep your love on fire. Now, I'm still looking for that verse where Jesus is going to say, don't worry about any of this. There's a pre-trib rapture. Verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, if you don't endure unto the end, will you be saved? No. But, he said, he that shall endure. Endure what? The time of tribulation that's coming. And that word endure is the hypomene, and it means to remain. It means to stay under. Keep your love. Keep your faith. Faith, hope, and love. These three remain. Keep your hope. Keep your faith. Your hope that a better day is coming. A hope that says, even though it's horrible today, the sun will shine tomorrow. Jesus will return. Jesus is in control. Jesus warned us about these days. I'm not going to give up my hope. I'm not going to give up my faith. I'm not going to give up my love. I'm going to keep my faith, keep my hope, keep my love. The dark days will pass, and the light will shine, and the glory will come, and I want to be there and endure to the end. All right, so remain, bear up under trials, have fortitude, persevere. All right, this is what he tells us to do. Now, if we endure to the end, we'll be saved. Sounds like we're going to be here. Sounds like nobody's leaving yet. I mean, the master teacher talking about the end of time. His second coming, the end of the world. Where is the pre-trib rapture? Professor Jesus, where is it? It's not there so far, but maybe we'll find it as we go. Now, in verse 14, Jesus comes up with this. He says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So in the midst of all this chaos, in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of all this stuff that's going on, the gospel will still be being preached by someone. You preaching. Who? You don't have to go to seminary to preach the gospel. You don't need anybody's permission to jump on a plane and go to the Congo and tell the people about Jesus. You don't need anybody's permission. You've already been told to go. Now, it'd be good if some people prayed with you and sent you. That's awesome. But you don't need anybody's permission to go to the grocery store, buy your macaroni or whatever, and minister to somebody about the gospel. It is to be preached in all the world to a witness to all nations or races of people everywhere. And he said that will happen. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. In other words, God is not going to be without witness. The whole world is going to know the good news of salvation. You don't have to go the way of the Antichrist. Unfortunately, many will. But the good news will be preached. Are you going to be part of that end time ministry? Verse 15. Oh, and then he says, and then shall the end come when the whole world has heard the gospel. Verse 15. Now comes a very interesting statement. I mean, this is one of those profound, deep, get into the book of Daniel studies. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, the abomination of desolation is the Antichrist. There will be in these last days a temple rebuilt in Jerusalem. They are going to build the temple. It's going to exist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says it's going to exist. Revelation chapter 11 says it's going to exist. It's going to exist. And the abomination of desolation is the Antichrist. And this abomination of desolation is going to go into that temple at a particular time and declare himself to be God. And he's going to worship his God. Most likely, my opinion, the Islamic Antichrist that will stand in the holy place. And we're not going to go, I don't want to get into that right now, but just when you see it happen, hey, listen. You know what the greatest sign of our times is going to be? There's many signs everywhere. But the greatest sign is going to be when you see a temple rebuilt in Jerusalem. And my God, when are they going to build it? In the midst of opposition, in the midst of difficulty. Now, he says, when you see it, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then, wow, this is the sign. Okay, this is what we were kind of looking for. This is the sign. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So he's addressing the people that are in Judea. What about the Christians all over the world? What about disciples everywhere else? I mean, there were Christians in Rome by the time 70 AD came around. There were Christians in Macedonia. They were in Greece. The Christians were everywhere. But he says to those who are in Judea, flee into the mountains. Because he's talking at a time where to his disciples that were presently there, he's telling them what to do. Now, the message has to gain fire and go to all the people that believe in Jesus, right? But that's the sign. Flee. It doesn't say that when you see this, lift up your head because the rapture is ready to happen. It doesn't say that. Again, one of the greatest signs, the Antichrist standing in the temple of God, that would be the time to get out of here because most of these pre-tribulational rapture teachers say we won't be here when the Antichrist shows up. But what's he telling his disciples to do? He says, basically, when the Antichrist shows up, split. Get to the mountains. Not I'm going to snatch you out. Then he says in verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. That could be any housetop, anywhere, any housetop, anywhere in the world. Don't come back to get your stuff. Don't come back to get your clothes. And then he says in verse 19, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Not, I'm going to snatch you out of here. You don't have to worry. He says it's a woe. Woe to them that are with child. It's going to be hard to have a child. It's going to be hard to have a baby in these days when it's time to flee to the mountains or to get wherever it is that God has prepared in these last days. And then he says this in verse 20, but pray. Oh, yes, but pray ye that your flight, not your pre-tribulational rapture flight, but pray your flight into the wilderness, into the mountains, be not in the winter. Why? You wouldn't want to be in the mountains of Judea in the winter or anywhere else in the winter. You wouldn't have to get out and go in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, because everybody's reposing and resting and taking it easy. You wouldn't want to have to go on that. So pray it doesn't happen in the winter. Pray it doesn't happen on the Sabbath day. Pray. Verse 21. And this is a key to everything. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. So whatever tribulation Jesus is talking about, he says it's going to be a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, what are we talking about here? How many great tribulations have we recorded in Scripture? Tribulation in the fall of Adam. Days of Noah, that was a pretty big tribulation. And isn't it interesting that Jesus normally equates the end times with the days of Noah? Noah was a pretty big deal. The world was flooded, right? But we know now it's not water that's going to end this planet. It's fire as we know it. It's reserved unto fire, 2 Peter chapter 3. So the great tribulation that Jesus is talking about has to at least be the days of Noah or greater, or maybe Sodom and Gomorrah, when fireballs fell down and destroyed them. It has to be greater. Now, was 70 AD greater than Nazi Germany? I mean, yes, in 70 AD, General Titus brought the surrounding armies. They did come in. They put a pig on the altar. They destroyed the temple. Jesus talked about that was going to be done. And the Jews were scattered. People ate their babies, boiled leather in their pots. We get that. It was a tough time. Do you know that happened in the Ukraine in the early 1900s? Do you know that that happened in other nations? And do you know Nazi Germany was pretty bad too? 6 million Jews incinerated? No, he's saying, and if there's anything that's worse than 70 AD, then it can't, that 70 AD can't be the time. And there have been worse persecutions against the Jewish people. Now listen, we're talking about right now in the end times, something is going to be greater than the days of Noah. And I don't believe 70 AD was greater than the days of Noah. And Jesus said that there would be a great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world. Come on. To this time, no, nor ever shall be. In other words, the one that's coming, the last great tribulation, when that thing happens, Christ comes immediately after. Watch. Watch what he says. in verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now remember, he who endures to the end shall be saved. But if he doesn't shorten the days, no one will be saved. But for the elect's sake, who are going to go through and endure to the end, he's going to shorten the days. What does that mean? He's going to make a 24-hour day a 20-hour day? No. The Bible tells us in Revelation 13 particularly that the Antichrist, when he begins to bring the Great Tribulation, he'll have 3.5 years or 1,260 days or 42 months. They're all the same time frame. 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years. That's the time frame the Bible explicitly gives to when this Great Tribulation begins, and when it ends, there's a space of time, 3.5 years. That's it. He's going to shorten it. So the elect are going to have the ability to endure that period of time. You need to remember that. You need to know when this thing is going to happen. And I believe it's when that temple is built and when that the Antichrist will come in at a certain time, but when he goes into the abomination, you know the countdown will begin. Now, he also says in verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. In other words, Jesus is saying during the Great Tribulation, people are going to be saying over here and over there. He says, don't believe it. I'm not going to be around at that moment. I'm not coming at that moment. I'm not coming during the Great Tribulation. I'm not bringing a pre-trib rapture. There is no secret pre-trib rapture. So far, the master teacher hasn't once even suggested in the smallest way that there's a pre-trib rapture escape, not even a little bit. And he's saying now, listen, if they tell you I'm here during this Great Tribulation, I'm not. Now he goes on and he says this in 24. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets. They shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This is going back now to Revelation 13, the second beast, who performs miracles and signs and wonders and makes fire come down out of heaven in the sight of them all and causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, to worship the beast. Oh, there's going to be miraculous signs and wonders through technology, magic, occultism, satanic power. But Jesus is warning you, don't be awed by it. Don't be awed by it. Because this is going to be very deceptive. Man, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to verse 25. This is key to everything. Verse 25. Behold, I have told you before. Jesus just schooled four disciples. Those four disciples were intended to share this message with the whole world of God's people. Okay? We should all have this. That's why it's in a book. That's why God put it in his book. And now Jesus basically says, there it is. I just told you. What will be the sign of your temple in your generation collapsing? I've also told you the sign of my coming. Or no, he hasn't gotten there yet. He hasn't gotten there yet. Watch this. Because he did tell them about the destruction of the temple and all of these things. Now he's got to finish his dialogue. And watch what he says in verse 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning, watch this now, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What were their three questions? When shall these things be? The destruction of the temple, the sign of your coming, and the end of the world. Now he's answering that question. As the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Has that happened? Has the Lord come? Has he returned? No evidence in 2,000 years that the Lord came shining out of the east unto the west, and the Lord showed up. Watch what he says now. He says, that's how it's going to happen. 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. There's a lot of commentary on that verse. I want to just get through that, okay? It doesn't change anything. Verse 29. Now Jesus is still speaking. Immediately after the tribulation. So let me say it again. Immediately. Let's look. Well, immediately after the tribulation of those days that he just talked about, shall the sun be darkened. So immediately the sun's going to be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now we need to look at this in the book of Revelation again. But I want you to notice Jesus Christ, the professor, the teacher, is saying immediately after there's going to be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. I want to ask you a question. Have there ever been signs in the sun, moon, and stars before? You bet there has. There were signs going back to the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah. I mean, the signs of the sun, moon, and stars and the shaking of heavenly powers has existed before. There have been tribulations before, but Jesus is talking about the culmination of the ages, the dispensation of the fullness of times, is how the Apostle Paul put it in Ephesians 1:10. Now Jesus is saying, immediately after the tribulation, that's going to happen, those signs, and then look at verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Wow. So immediately after the tribulation, there's going to appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. All the tribes of the earth, they're going to mourn, and then they're going to see. Jesus is now answering their question about his coming, and it's going to be an amazing reality. But watch this. Watch this. He's going to come with the clouds, right? He's coming with the clouds. Don't forget that. With power and great glory. And they're going to see him. They're going to see him. And then he's going to send, and he shall send, verse 31, he shall send. It's almost like they see him in the clouds, they see his power, great glory, that's got to be amazing, but he doesn't come any further. He does something. What? He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Now you're going to get into 1 Thessalonians 4, and now you're going to see what 1 Thessalonians 4 really says. Because this is at the time when the Lord comes in the clouds with power and great glory. But what is he doing? He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. This is 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to read that in just a second, okay? When does Jesus come? When does he send his angels to gather together his elect who endured to the end? His elect who endured to the end. What about everybody that didn't endure to the end? Uh-oh. When does he do this? Immediately after the tribulation. The greatest tribulation to ever exist on the face of the earth until he comes, right? That's what it says. Now it goes on to say, all right, let's stop there for just a moment. Let me just shift to the book of Thessalonians, okay? Because a lot of rapture teachers preach 1 Thessalonians 4 is all about the pre-trib rapture. Okay, so let's make sure that we show with what we just read. So Let's put this in here, coming of the Lord. Oops. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I like this. And I'm going to make sure that I have my Strong's definition. And let's go to verse 13, because I want you to notice all pre-tribulational rapture teachers begin their conversation here in 1 Thessalonians. Now, Jesus, the author, the professor, the teacher of teachers, the master, doesn't mention it once about a pre-trib rapture during the last days. Not once. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul the Apostle, who kind of was an excellent scholar himself, wouldn't you say, taught by Christ himself in the wilderness for 14 years, he says this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in the first place is not about a rapture at all. It's about Paul's concern for the people, because Christians were dying. And he said, "I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which die, that you, my beloved brethren, sorrow not even as others which have no hope." So the whole context of 1 Thessalonians 4 is Christians who lost loved ones, they were sad. But Paul's saying, "I'm writing to you because I don't want you to be sad like everybody else that doesn't have hope. For it says in verse 14 now, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which die or sleep in Jesus," they died in faith in Christ, "will God bring with him." He's talking about the resurrection. He's not talking about a pre-trib rapture. He's talking about, at this point, the resurrection. Jesus, the first fruits, and then the full harvest, okay? There's going to be a resurrection. That's all Paul's saying. He says, "We believe." He's encouraging the saints. You're not going to lose your loved ones forever. They're going to resurrect. And then he gets into a little bit deeper detail. Verse 15, listen carefully. "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord," speculating, not reasoning, not our belief. He's now going to say something by the word of the Lord. What do you think the word of the Lord was? Well, in context, he's going to talk about what Jesus talked about in Matthew 24. Watch. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain," those who endure to the end, those who remain, okay? We who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. When does the Lord come? He comes in Matthew 24 immediately after the tribulation. So we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So in other words, immediately after the tribulation, when the Lord comes, there are going to be those who endured to the end. Remember, he's going to send his angels to gather them. He says, "But we're not going to go first." All he says now is what? Let me read it again. Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, we endure to the end, unto the coming of the Lord." We just read about that in Matthew 24. "We shall not prevent them which are asleep." In other words, we're not going before them which died. "For the Lord himself," verse 16, watch, "for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." When is this happening? When the Lord returns. The coming of the Lord. He's coming to collect what's his. And Paul's revelation is that those who remain or endure to the end, which means those who remain unto the end, he's coming to gather, but there's going to be a resurrection first. Because this is all about the resurrection, right? Then he says in verse 17, I'm getting a kick out of this because I marvel when I hear pre-tribulational teachings that 1 Thessalonians is all about a secret rapture. It has nothing to do with that. In fact, it's talking particularly about Matthew 24, about those who endure to the end will be gathered together by the angels. But he all just adds to it that there's going to be a resurrection first. And then he says this in verse 17. Then, after he gathers the dead with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain unto the end of that great tribulation shall be caught up together with them, the dead in Christ that rose, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Notice that the Lord in Matthew and in Thessalonians never comes on the earth. He's in heaven, in the cloud, power, great signs and wonders, but he sends his angels. Now, when the dead rise and we who are alive and remain are caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, he's in the clouds. He doesn't make landfall yet. It's not time. We're in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It has nothing to do with the preacher of rapture. Zero. Why doesn't the Lord make landfall, though? Why does he stay in the clouds? Why do the dead rise and meet him? And why are we who are alive and remain through the great tribulation caught up to meet the Lord in the air? Why? Because it's not time for him to return yet. Why? Because in the book of Revelation, right after this event, which you'll find in Revelation chapter 14, it's called the harvest. But then the vials of the wrath of God are going to be poured out on this earth. We will not be here for the wrath of God. A lot of people say, well, we're not going to be here. There's a preacher rapture because we're not appointed to God's wrath. The great tribulation has nothing to do with God's wrath. It has everything to do with the wrath of the dragon. Revelation 12 and 13 tells you all about it. So we're caught up, the dead in Christ, the overcomers who endure to the end, the very elect of God, to be with the Lord. We go with the Lord somewhere into some place that we can't even imagine. Now comes the outpouring of the vials of the wrath of God. Then we see the destruction of Babylon. The wrath of God is poured out in Revelation 16. Mystery Babylon and Babylon in 17 and 18 of Revelation are totally destroyed. Then in Revelation chapter 19, the Lord returns with his armies and he takes the false prophet and the beast. He throws him into the lake of fire. He comes to battle, to make war, to judge. He's coming to take the earth now, and we're with him. At this time in Revelation 19, Revelation 20, the Satan is bound for 1,000 years, thrown into a pit. Then the judgment begins. Oh, mamma mia. Judgment Day. Judgment Day, Revelation 20. You want to go to 1 Corinthians 15. Maybe somewhere in 1 Corinthians 15 it talks about a secret preacher of rapture. Can I assure you it does not? It simply is talking about what 1 Thessalonians, the same apostle wrote the same letter. So maybe we could go there and look at it, but I think I've made my point today, but I want to get to a question now, and I'm so glad I went an extra 30 minutes today. Whew. I want to do one more thing. Just stay with me for a second. All right, so I want to ask you a question. Let me just put this in here. Luke 21:28, all right? Luke 21:28, that's where I want to be. And I want to definitely get into my strongs here. Now, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, the different perspectives of the different disciples, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, about this conversation that Jesus had with the four disciples asking three questions, there are different perspectives. But in Luke 21:28, let's pick it up in verse 25, because this says there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars upon earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. That's another part of this whole thing. Men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That's all taking place. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. We just read that as well. Now listen to verse 28. And when these things, and you have to go back and read all the stuff that's creating the turmoil, when these things, not one thing, but when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. So right now, obviously, there are many things going on. There's a great sign that's going to come. I believe it's the building of the temple in the Middle East. My question to you was, when do you get to your safe place? Are there enough signs in the world right now? And I'm just asking the question, okay? I just want to ask the question. Are there enough signs going on in the world right now? And you consider that most of the planet is shut down right now. Pretty big sign. It's a pretty big sign. But do you think that what's happening in the world right now is a sign from God for you to get to where God wants you to be? Because this thing isn't going to slow down or turn back. We're moving headlong into the greatest tribulation that the world has ever known. And you need to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. Or is this just a moment that's going to pass and everything's going to be okay? That's where we need discernment. And that's where we need to be careful of what we're listening to and what we're hearing. I'm asking you the question today. Do you believe that the signs of our times are a signal to us? Going back to 2014, to the blood red moons, the solar eclipses in 2016, the celestial sign of Revelation 12 and the stars in 2017, the earthquakes, the floods, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the wildfires, the school shootings, the church shootings, the mall shootings, the concert shootings, economic imbalance, instability, government, 2016 election process, crazy times for America. Now we're here with the whole world shut down. Do you believe that these signs are God's signal to us to go and get to prepared places? Or do you believe, which is fine, I'm looking for the truth like you, this is going to pass. Don't worry. Don't be premature. You know, don't create panic. Don't start, you know, don't mess up your life now by leaving everything, you know, and getting somewhere. What's the truth? I want to know from you. I'm going to open up the telephone lines. The number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. I would love to hear from you. Press 1 on your dial pad. I've got, a couple of friends out there. Dave Ellefson, showing us up on YouTube and on Facebook. Welcome. Right, Patricia Johnson came in. God bless you, Patricia. I came in late. I want to watch again from the first. Be a great thing to do. Bob R. is out there. We've been waiting for the finality of things that must be before the return of our Lord. We never go against our God and his word. The Antichrist will make war on the saints. I totally believe Bob R. But the question is right now to all of you that are tuned in, remember the telephone number, 818-369-0326. Are the signs presently that are happening in the world a signal to God's people to get out of the way right now? And I mean not just hunkering down in your house. I mean getting to the place that God has prepared for you and your family. Is this the time, or is this the time to just go to your house, ride out the storm, wait for a few months or weeks, and everything will be okay? Are we now in the commencement of a time where half the globe, the population, will be wiped out off the face of the earth? According to the book of Revelation, at least 3.5 billion people will die leading up to the Great Tribulation, from wars and famines and pestilences, according to the book of Revelation. Do you think this is time to get out of the way, or do you think it's time to just hunker down? I'd like to hear from you. Waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. Tough question, isn't it? It's a very tough question. But we've got a call coming in. I'm going to go ahead and take that call. I'm going to turn up my sound system here just a little bit, and I'm going to welcome. Oh, I think we just lost that call. Okay. So if you have a comment to this, we'd love to hear from you. 818-369-0326. While I'm waiting for that call, another thing that I'm kind of wrestling with right now, and I lightly touched upon it during this broadcast, I have a hard time listening to what the government's saying. Now, I might just be a rebel in heart here, okay? But let me explain myself. I have a hard time listening to a governor like Cuomo, who during the blood red wolf moon of 2019 on January 20th, when that blood red moon came out, remember it? And he and all of his cronies there in New York said, we want full-term abortion. The governors over in Washington did the same thing. And in Virginia, I have a hard time following the lead of people that want to slaughter babies when they're laying on the table fully developed. I have a really hard time with that. I don't want to listen to them. I don't care what they say. That's how I feel about it. I don't know if you feel the same way, but that's how I feel about it. Why would I want to listen to these blasphemous people? Why would I want to follow their directions? I already know that the pulpits of America are filled with people that are going to be telling God's people, leading them right into the trap. I believe that with all my heart. And again, I don't want to just be a rebel, and I don't want to just withstand for the case of withstanding, but I'm a little bit concerned. I still don't know why God's people who claim to be kingdom people are not gathering together to fellowship. And yet I hear people all the time saying, well, this is wisdom. The experts are telling us. And yet I read what the Bible says. Do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together as you see the manner of some, especially as you see the day approaching. So the Bible says don't forsake the gathering, but the experts are telling us you need to forsake the gathering. And the kingdom people who are supposed to have power over sickness and disease, they don't want to gather because that's wise. I'm a bit confused and I need some help. I really do. Anyways, that's just me. Waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. We would love to hear your thoughts. Is this the time to bug out, get to your prepared place? Let's take this call coming in from area code 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hello?
Here he goes. Can you hear me, Pastor?
Yes, I can hear you now. You're on the air. You're on the air. Are you there? That call dropped. Okay. So, 479. No, it's not. It's 818-369-0326. No ideas out there? No thoughts? Maybe you just don't know. Is this the time? Is it not the time? I think it's a good question. There is a new world order appearing. The crowning of the head is now being shown. Every tactic necessary to bring it forth will be used. There is no turning back, and God's people must look ahead to the days of pressure. Are you prepared? Are you pressure proof? Are you a clean vessel on the inside? Let's work together to be a prepared vessel unto the Lord through which he can manifest his glory. Thought that was a good opening. Joseph tells us that the elite are stepping down and going to their bunkers. Well, I don't know. Bob is saying everything is ramping up. So if it is, what should God's people be doing? I do believe in personal inward purification of the heart. And I know that's by the blood of Jesus. I know that's by my faith in what Christ has done. I know it's by working out my salvation with fear and trembling, carrying my cross, dying to myself. I know that. Let's try this call one more time. Area code 479-321. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, Pastor?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear.
I've got a bad connection on my end, but anyway, I was thinking about what you said or what you asked, and I remember a prophet a couple of years ago, he said that he thinks there'll come a time when you're maybe dead even, and an angel will come, tap you on the shoulder, and say, let's go. And you've got to go with the angel right then and be translated to wherever you need to go. And don't even pick up your stuff. All your household goods will be translated later. This is just speculation, I know, but I feel that time is close. I just wanted to put that in there and see what you thought.
All right. Very good question. I'm sorry your phone is breaking up. I'm not sure what end that's coming on here. But, you know, so what our caller just said, it was that there was a prophecy years ago that, like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot was down in Sodom, the angel came and literally brought them out, and that maybe in these last days there'll be angelic visitation to bring people out. I kind of view what we read in Matthew 24 as Jesus already telling us the things that would be. The only time I see angelic visitation in the Matthew 24 discourse is when they come to gather the people after the great tribulation. But no doubt angels, it would be awesome for an angel to knock on the door and say, hello, get out of here. And what is an angel? It's a messenger. We're getting close to hearing the voice of God. Joseph Reynolds, people are going to be perplexed when they see the real faces of the people that are being shown giving the advice in the media, as mentioned in Scripture. Strange covering. All right, Joseph, I get that. Now, purification, prayer, fasting. You notice that nobody is stepping out to make that decision, give the answer. Yes, it's time to go. No, it's not. We can't be there. So what does have to happen? Prayer, fasting, okay, and cleaning up the heart so that we can hear. It's imperative, saints. It is imperative. You must get cleaned up so you're able to hear. I believe, what I believe is that the Holy Spirit, beyond my speaking today, has been ministering something to your heart. The question is, can you hear it? Can you hear it? There's direction. There's wisdom. There's revelation. There's knowledge. Jesus Christ will show us what to do. Let me lay something forth. Maybe not. 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. We're getting calls all day long. My call today started with a friend of mine who has been in the FBI. He's retired, and he's just a great guy. And was talking about all the different things going on, things he's hearing in his intelligence. We heard yesterday, and I ought to tell you this. This was an email, and let's see if this comes to pass. It wasn't an email. It was from a friend, and he asked me to share this on our network, and it's a friend of mine. It's Clarence, and I love this man because he was very intrinsic. Let me see if I can find my brother here. And when we started on this radio program, he was sharing it with everybody. He was telling everybody that we were here, and here it is. And yesterday he sent this, and he said, hello, Pastor Vincent, this is Clarence. He said he's been missing in action on Facebook. I hope and pray all is well with you, your wife, church, family, and radio program. He said, I just was sent this from a family member last evening, and here was the message, okay? He said, I got this from my D.C. lawyer friends. Quote, please be advised, within 48 to 72 hours, now this was yesterday, so give it 2 days to 3 days, the president will evoke what is called the Stafford Act. Just got off the phone with some of my military friends up in D.C. who just got out of a two-hour briefing. The president will order a two-week mandatory quarantine for the nation. Stock up on whatever you guys need to make sure you have a two-week supply of everything. Please forward to your network. Now, we do know that there was a 15-day deal yesterday where the idea was quarantine. Get yourselves prepared. It wasn't mandatory. We may get that mandatory Stafford Act. Another friend of mine said to me that we are in martial law. It's very mild. They won't call it that, but that's there. Let's take a call coming in from area code 507. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hello?
Yes. You was talking about fasting and praying, getting ready. The main thing what we got to realize in these end times, we got to win the loss. Talk to them about Jesus, because if we don't, who's going to do it? And what good is all we prepare ourselves and never say anybody else anything to anybody else about Jesus and getting to heaven? Because when this is all over, we're standing judgment. What are you going to say if people say, "You never told me about Jesus"?
Amen. Amen. I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. And we need to be bold in our confession right now, right?
Yes, but there's a lot of things that are going through us. You say, this is just the start of it. You know,
yes.
The Antichrist, he wants to come into power, and they're going to throw everything they can to get what they want. And we got to be ready for it. And the Bible told us ahead of time these things are coming, so, you know, we don't have to be afraid. God says, you know, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, you know. And, you know, what's our talk? You know, are we talking fear or are we talking life? Because life and death is coming out of our mouth. You know, how many people are talking life or death?
Amen. Amen. I totally agree. I totally agree with you, Richard. Absolutely. How's the weather in Minnesota right now?
It's pretty good. We're in the 40s. Ain't bad.
You're in the 40s. You really better pray that your flight's not in the winter. Living in Minnesota.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to be winter somewhere around the world.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That is true. What an interesting day. All right. So your advice to everybody out there today is go evangelize, tell people about Jesus, lead them into a prayer of faith, perhaps, and continue to prepare without fear.
Yeah, because if we don't, who's going to? There's nobody else going to tell them about Jesus.
That's
the
a great point.
Ain't gonna do it.
You are so right. That is a great point. Who else is going to? And what is the world? Yeah, go ahead.
And the thing is, we don't know how much time we got left. Have we got a year, 5 years, 10 years? We have no idea. Nobody knows. And, you know, we got to work while it's day before the night cometh.
Come on, Richard. That's right on. I totally agree.
Look at China. Church is underground. Well, is it going to come here? We're going to be going underground. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, we have on YouTube a friend, Sharon, saying, "I think the race God gave us to run is almost to the end. People need to wake up and realize there is no pre-tribal rapture." Well, that's true. I do believe that. While it's day.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah. Well, Richard.
And the thing, we just got to pray every day. Well, God, who do you want me to talk to? What do you want me to do, you know? And just trust Jesus. He's going to lead you to do something.
Amen. Amen. Pray, Lord, where do I go? Do I go today? You know, it's being led by the Holy Spirit. I think that's key to everything. And in the interim, we do. I think that is that's the statement of the century, the times we're in. Work while there's light because the nighttime comes. You're right on. All right, my dear brother, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you. God bless you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. All right, that's Richard calling all the way from Minnesota. What a great call. I appreciate that. We must work the works of him that sent me. Yeah, Jesus said that. Waiting for your call. Waiting for your call. Area code 818-369-0326. Do you fellowship with a group of people? Are you knit-tied with a body of believers? Have you all gotten together and said, here's the plan? Here's what we need to do? Because the day of Noah, you know, he preached until the day he entered into the ark. And are you with a community that is preparing? Because today, I believe by the Holy Spirit, God just absolutely stripped this entire idea of a pre-tribulational rapture. And now you need to ask yourself, because we're getting so close. Again, I want to read this. The new world order is appearing. The crowning of the head is now being shown. Every tactic necessary to bring it forth will be used. There is no turning back, and God's people must look ahead to the days of pressure. Are you prepared? Are you pressure-proof? Are you a clean vessel on the inside? Let's work together to be a prepared vessel unto the Lord through which he can manifest his glory. If you're in fellowship with believers, the purification of the heart, again, through the faith in the blood of Jesus, and then an active, ongoing repentance, a working out of salvation, carrying the cross, which is beautiful. All you're doing is dying to the junk, right? Let the beautiful nature of Christ rise up on the inside. Hear the voice of God. Get cleaned up. Get cleaned out. And let God begin to move through you and speak in you. Listen, God can perform a miracle in your mind. God can perform a miracle in your body. He can perform a miracle in your soul. He wants you free. He wants you delivered. And there is what we call the elect. And then there are is the general body of Christ. But for the very elect, I mean, there is a people that's going to remain to the end. Many are going to fall away. Which group are you in? What group are you in? Where do you fit in the end times? Where do you fit in the end times, in the last days? Are the signs enough for you yet to take serious what has been said for at least two decades from this pulpit? Never change the message, never change course just because of the prevailing winds blowing in this direction or that one. We chose not to be driven about by every wind of doctrine. We stayed the course here, and the things that we have said are now appearing. That is a fact. Are they enough for you to take serious what we're about to face, what we are going to encounter? And do you have the fortitude within you to endure for 3.5 years? Do I? I could only hope to God that my preparations through the years in working out my salvation and cleaning up my heart and my mind, that I will be able. I mean, God forbid I stand here and say, I'm one of them. Time will tell. You know, people get out of whack over, you know, small things. What's coming is not small, but do you see it yet? Are your eyes open to the reality? You've been blinded by the doctrine of once saved, always saved, peace and safety. But everything's saying, like a woman in travail, suddenly this thing comes. Suddenly the world is where it's at. You didn't know this. God did. A day before it happened, God sold us. Something's coming. You don't know where it's coming from. You won't be able to put it off, and it's going to be a major disaster. Well, God knew. Holy Spirit knew. Are you ready? We've got 90 seconds left, and I guess I just want to pray with you and ask the Lord to bless you. I know for me and my house, we are going to continue to work it out and prepare. Right now, we've got some serious decisions of our own to make. We have serious decisions. My wife and I, Patricia and I, we are pastors. We've been pastoring full-time for 28 years. We came out here 10.5 years ago to prepare. I got 60 seconds. Let me take this call from area code 479-586. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, Pastor, this is Bill. I just I believe it is the time. If it's not the time, then it's a precursor or prerequisite to the time. There's just too much stuff going on. I don't believe in coincidences. There's just too many things happening that are all coalescing to this final event right here, to where we start seeing things shut down. And, you know, the government, all they are is a pawn in God's hand. That's all they are. He uses evil to accomplish his goals. And we're seeing what's happening. And I just pray that that the pre-trib people and the once saved, always saved people open the eyes of their understanding and let them see this for what it is, and get ready, because that gate is real narrow, and that leads to salvation. So I hate to see a lot of people walk the other way, but man, it's going to be interesting. And you know, if your heart is stayed on Christ, then there is no fear in this thing. It's almost giddy with anticipation of knowing that our Lord's going to return soon, and you know, we're going to have to watch what's going on. So anyway, be blessed.
God bless you, and thank you for that call. Yeah, we appreciate that. We're going to go out right now, and pray for our ministry. We will pray for you. We will be here Monday through Friday by the grace of God and share what he puts in our hearts. Please pray for my wife and I. We are making a decision right now, and we're ready to go out. We're ready to pack up, and we're going to be looking for an RV to live in. And pray for us. We need help with that. We need provision for that. We need to know, because right now we rent a home and we're leaving. We're going to where God called us to be, but we don't have any place to live up there right now. We need an RV. And pray for us. I'm not asking you to pay for it. I'm asking you, pray for us. We need to make our transition. I hope you'll make your transition. And just pray for our ministry, that we stay on track. Pray for me, that I stay in the Word and continue to be able to do what we're doing. Okay, I'm going to leave it at that. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Daniel Second will be with us tomorrow from Australia. Until we meet again, I'm Pastor Vince. Right now, omegaradio.org. You can go to omegaradio.org 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a live roundtable discussion going on right now. We'll see you tomorrow in Jesus' name. Amen.